The most recent cover story in ESPN, the magazine, is a 12,000-word profile of Alex Rodriguez, the infamous baseball player who will return to the New York Yankees this season after a 162-game suspension. J.R. Moehringer, who wrote the piece, says he spent more than 100 hours with Rodriguez, following him around, talking with him after he was busted for using performance-enhancing drugs. But Moehringer never quotes Rodriguez in the story. David Folkenflik joins us regularly. He's NPR's media correspondent. He's here to talk about that approach and the nature of this kind of narrative. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeremy.
Well, we should say that Moehringer is known for his feature writing. He won a Pulitzer Prize for it back in 2000. But why would you spend so much time with somebody, and not just somebody, but Alex Rodriguez, and not include a single quote from him in the story?
Well, he addresses this high up in the piece, and he leads into the story perhaps a little more conventionally, and then he takes this turn where he takes a stop, and he says, the problem is with quoting Alex Rodriguez is that he's a proven liar, that he lied publicly about the question of whether he had taken steroids, performance-enhancing illegal drugs. He had lied to the public. He had lied to his team. He had lied to his teammates. He had lied to the game of baseball. And he said, as a result, you're not going to believe anything that comes out of his mouth. Hmm. And what you do is not hear a single quote from him. On the other hand, in the course of those thousands of words, you get a fairly immersive experience into how life feels like around Alex Rodriguez, what it's like to be next to him. And at times, his voice really comes through Moehringer's writing. And so you're getting a feel from what, as best he can, the writer can provide of how A-Rod looks at the world, even if you're not getting the actual words coming from his mouth.
But is it fair to the reader to never hear from A-Rod? And it's fair to A-Rod to never hear from him directly.
Well, I think that's a fair question. I think that, you know, I think one of the most compelling things about broadcast, why I like doing the kinds of stories we do on NPR, is that you can hear people in their own voice, in their own intonation, their inflection, their accents, their pauses, and you get meaning from that. At the same time, I think that you get meaning from the flow and course of narrative as well. We think in some ways of one of the best magazine articles of all time as the piece by Gay Talese in the 1960s, I think 1966, about Frank Sinatra. Mm. And it's called Frank Sinatra Has a Cold. And there are two things about that, one of which is that Sinatra didn't want to talk to Gay Talese at all and decided not to until he sort of hung around his circles, saw him at public events, interviewed many of his intimates and associates who were willing to talk to him. And he both used the idea that he has a cold and therefore wasn't comfortable singing at the times he was around him as a metaphor for the fact that Sinatra wasn't willing to talk to him, and also used it to explore the nature of what Frank Sinatra's world was like, the worlds of entertainment and song and movie and power and Hollywood were like when somebody so powerful and famous was thrown off kilter by something as common and obvious as a cold. And I think that we gained a lot of, as Talese later talked about it, as the truth of Sinatra, even if we didn't hear from him directly. I think only really skilled practitioners can do this. As we might say, don't do this at home, kids. But it's a really powerful way of getting at someone. And I think it's fair to say Moehringer captures a lot of what it's like to be inside A-Rod's head, even if you don't get the truth of why he took the drug, something he wasn't willing to address.
Well, and on the issue of A-Rod, by the way, Richard Ben Kramer, a celebrated writer, famously tried to write a book about him several years ago and never succeeded there.
Well, there are a lot of people who are close to Kramer, and I knew him only slightly, who say that he was defeated by that story. You know, he once said about A-Rod, after years into a project, he had gotten a $550,000 advance from Hachette, his publisher, never succeeded on it, and the publisher later sued his estate to try to get that advance back. He frustratedly said, you know, ultimately A-Rod proved to be, a quote, a completely vacuous person and that he had led a completely vacuous life. And he said he wasn't sure that he could get at the larger meaning, even though initially he was so intrigued by having access after many conversations with A-Rod and being able to do that. We only know this because of an incredible piece in Sports Illustrated that itself was an immersive story about Kramer by S.L. Price.
Well, you use the term access there, and I want to ask you about that, because if you look at sports journalism on the whole, and I'm thinking back even to just the most recent Super Bowl, and at the end of the game, a reporter goes up to Bob Kraft and asks this total softball question. And I wonder how much journalism, with all of the access restrictions and all the media handlers, how much real journalism is going on in sports today?
Well, if you think about somebody like Richard Ben Cramer, you know, he also profiled Ted Williams in the 80s. And he also did a biography of Joe DiMaggio, who didn't want to be handled. But their world was not so encircled by all the handlers, all the spin doctors, all the image makers, what we now expect of Hollywood celebrities, politicians, and athletes as well. I think there is a tremendous outpouring of journalism going on. I think ESPN, by publishing a piece like this, is showing that they may do the sideline snippets. They may do certain kinds of interactions that are more like what you see on red carpets outside the Oscars and Academy Awards. But I think you're seeing a lot of good journalism in sports, even as you're seeing a lot of stenography or recitation as well.
David Folkenflik, NPR media correspondent, joining us from New York, as he does each week. David, thank you so much.
You bet.